This morning's text is our next reading, which is Proverbs chapter 1, from verse 20 to the end of that chapter to verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, but because you have called, I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their ways and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Amen. If only. If only I'd not gone out that afternoon, had a few drinks, met up with some mates I used to know, had a few more, and then thought I could still drive. If only I hadn't. Then that young girl who was crossing the road at that pedestrian crossing would still be alive. God. If only I'd listened to my mother when she used to say, and I plugged up my ears. If only I hadn't been so angry as a teenager. If only I'd turned my brain into gear, how different life would have been. If only I'd been wise enough not to peep and keep on staring at my internet porn. If only I'd learned to listen. If only. Surely every memory of those suffering in hell must start with those two words. If only. You know, there is a point at which it is too late, a point at which you can no longer escape the consequences of your actions or foolishness. There's a very earthy but very apt Dutch proverb which translates politely in English, whoever burns his own behind must sit on the blisters. In other words, be very careful in where you park yourself, in where you take a seat, it could burn your bottom and set the course of your life on fire. It can bring about all kinds of suffering and misery and lead to that endless repression, if only, if only, if only. Now, brothers and sisters, and especially young people and children, the second half of Proverbs chapter 1 from verses 20 to 33 serve as a warning not to let things get out of control, to wait until it is too late, or to get to that stage when you're sitting on the blisters in hell. So let's have a closer look at this passage and try and learn something from it. Now, it's very fascinating, and Proverbs does this repeatedly. In verses 20 and following, wisdom is pictured as a human being. You noticed it very specifically as a woman. And it has this woman, Mrs. Wisdom, running around the streets, through the narrow lanes, into the public squares and gateways of the ancient city. She's anxious. She's deeply concerned. She's like a frantic mother crying out for her son, who in anger and rebellion has stormed out of the house and has disappeared somewhere in the city. She's crying, she's yelling, in fact, and calling out to her son and to all the wayward sons of the city in which she walks and runs, all the sons who've gathered together in gangs and various nooks and crannies and planned their mischief. She gives no thought to herself. Now, for us today, we can't see the power of this picture, but in the ancient world, brothers and sisters, women never went on the streets by themselves. And they had their heads covered, and in the Eastern world today, often their faces covered as well. And a woman would always walk meekly behind a man, and she would never raise her voice in public beyond a whisper. But this woman, defying culture and tradition, gives no thought to herself. She's frantic. She's desperate. Compassion and passion for the well-being of her children drives her into the public streets. Her loud, keening voice is heard above the din of an already noisy, raucous street. Why, she even goes to the gateway of the city where all the important men sit and give their counsel as judges, a male domain if there ever was one, and behold, she makes a speech. It's a terrifying speech. She has a public announcement. She wants all the sons of the city, all the young men and women to hear. How long, look at verse 22 there, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? You know, a simple person, not thinking. How long will scoffers, the old man doesn't know a thing kind of people, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? There is a limit. There is, believe it or not, a point of no return. A point at which the entanglement of the sinner in his sin is so great and so severe, a point at which, as it were, the fool has stepped over the edge of the cliff and has planted both his feet in space. There is a point at which wisdom will stop calling and cry anxiously, and instead of calling and crying, will start jeering and laughing. A bitter laugh. Look again, verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. There's the promise. But then screams the warning. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. You know, the ignorance of the simple, the cynicism of the mocker, the plain stupidity of the fool is forever the catch cry, I'm all right. It'll never happen to me. I'll always find a way out. She'll be right on the night. It's never too late. Isn't it just? It reminds me of a 19-year-old who had been mollycoddled, in fact, by his mum and dad without their realizing it. And he always expected someone to be there to bail him out when trouble struck. Every time he had dug yet another hole for himself, his dad was there. And after a while, he took it for granted. He came to expect his dad rescuing him as his right. Good old dad, he's always there. And came the day when he dug and fell into a hole that his dad couldn't get him out of. For he stood before the judge and the sword of justice struck. 3 years. What? Dad, help! And Dad stood in the courtroom, utterly helpless. Son, it's too late. And as he walks out of the courtroom, you hear him muttered, if only, if only, if only. Listen to wisdom's warning. She's crying in the streets also of Christchurch. There is a point at which all you will hear is simply the bitter laughter. Too late, mate. Too late, mate. Brothers and sisters, and I'm going to upset a few of you now, so listen carefully to what I'm going to say. There is a lie, a sloppy sentimental myth that is thinly disguised as being Christian that does the rounds nowadays. It is what I would call here, and listen carefully, the myth of unconditional love. The myth holds it as self-evidently and incontestably true that the love of our Father God is unconditional, and therefore that Christian love, to imitate that, the love of parents to their children, must also be the same. This myth, I call it a lie, teaches that true divine love is unconditional. The belief is that no matter what you do, no matter how often or how long you keep doing it, God is never going to stop loving you and be your Father God. Why, says this theology? Because his love is unconditional and has nothing to do and does not depend on you at all. just think it through with me for a moment, because I'm entering territory here which some of you probably feel a bit uncomfortable with. If this delusion or lie were true, then it would seem to me that the existence of the fires of hell, the concept of eternal punishment, the idea of a God who is just, where he punishes the wicked and blesses and rewards the righteous, simply cannot be true. If God's love were unconditional, he could not and would not judge, that is, condemn or express his righteous wrath or anger to a single soul. If God's love was really unconditional, then the very fact that people do suffer, do have to endure sitting on the most painful of blisters, is proof of his dithering incompetency or helplessness. If God's love is unconditional, then, as Scottish philosopher David Hume once said, there is no evidence or proof of his existence. Quite the opposite, in fact. Now hear me well. God judges. In that sense, the love of God is always conditional. And therefore, the book of Proverbs, as with the rest of Scripture, screams out to each and every person that ever opens this book and starts to learn the thinking, screams out that the simple must stop being ignorant and must strive to listen, that the mocker must change his tune and stop rejecting the truth about himself and God, that the fool must stop pretending that his actions have no eternal consequences. He must return and repent, for there is a limit. Look at verse 28. Then, when those who refuse to listen, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. They're sending shivers down my spine. Why? Well, the reason for this lies in their own being. They didn't listen to Mrs. Wisdom. Look at verse 29 to 31. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. As my proverb from Holland said, the result of burning your bottom is a cluster of extremely painful blisters on which you'll have to sit. Now go with me to the last two verses, 32 and 33. There are the two pathways there. The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Hey guys, is there any here that wants to be simple and a fool? You've got to be brain dead to want to go in that direction. Young people, listen. Make a choice. Now at this point, I want to change my tone for a couple of minutes change tune, if you like. And in the name of Jesus, speak to, well, those who are listening and willing to listen. There are those of us here today, and I use the word us advisedly, who know the pain of blisters, the horror of some of the messes that you've made in your lives, the hurt that you've imposed on people you loved or who loved you. There are some of you who are probably thinking to yourself at this point, is it too late? Has the cry of Mrs. Wisdom now turned into a sneer for me? Yes, I know what it's like to come to that point in your life when you say, am I beyond help? Is it too late for me? Look at verse 33, please. And it's the most beautiful words I could possibly find. Two words. Whoever listens. Whoever listens. Whoever listens. Love that word, whoever. That's inclusive. It's got your name written on it. Whoever. Come on, put your name there. Full mon, the full thing. And then says, listens. It says listens. It does not say whoever kept their bottoms clean. It does not say whoever of you managed to be that ideal teenager that parents always wished they had but never had. It does not say that those who always kept their noses clean. What it only says is this, whoever listens. And now comes to the reading of Acts 9. Take the Apostle Paul. Here he is, on the way to the city of Damascus. He's only listening to his own heart, to his own anger, to his own desire. And he has no ears for anybody else. And then suddenly, this murdering zealot whose hands are red with the blood of victims on the road, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's the Holy Spirit drilling holes in his in the side of his head, and he what? He hears. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he not only hears, he listens. Who are you? Who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Or one person who you refuse to listen to. Who you refuse to believe can help you. Listen. Listen. Whosoever listens. That's gospel. That's good news. Whoever listens. And can I therefore say this? In having said the gospel is unconditional, what I mean to say is this. It is only for those who in the power and grace of the Holy Spirit will listen. That God is able to say, nothing is too big for me to forgive. And Paul has already said to us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, if I can be forgiven, guys, who do you think that you can't be? And so there is a condition. And a condition, if you like, that is enabled in your life and heart by means of the Holy Spirit. The condition is simply listen. Listen. Look at verse 33 again. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure. Many exegetes point out that Mrs. Wisdom in the Old Testament is in fact a type of Christ. And when you read Proverbs in that light, it becomes beautiful. You hear the voice of Jesus. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Can I put it straight into the words of the Lord Jesus? My favorite text in the Bible, or one of them. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Safe as I listen. Surely that's the challenge. Not simply to listen once, but to listen and to listen and to listen. And the mercy of God never fails. Amen. Lord in heaven, so often we make a mess. We indeed do burn our bottoms. And we wish you could start all over again, but we can't, because the past is the past. But you've invited us to listen to Mrs. Wisdom. To listen ultimately to the voice of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. And in listening to him, hear him cry, come to me. And I will give you rest. Lord, if there are some here who are refusing to listen, please, please, please open their ears and their hearts by means of your Holy Spirit. And for those of us that are listening, Lord, comfort us in the knowledge that if you are able to forgive Saul or Paul, surely, your grace is sufficient for us too. We listen and hear you say, I will be your God and you will be my people. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the end of the service, we're going to ask you to stand now to receive the blessing. And then we'll finish the service by singing number 368, God the Father of Your People. Will you please arise in order to receive the blessing? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all, and let everyone say, Amen. Amen. Thank you.